Ren Lavoie. He's our NHL insider from TVA Sports. As always, you can follow him on Twitter at Ren Lavoie TVA. Ren, thank you for doing this.
No problem, Jeff. How are you this morning?
I'm doing well. I'm kind of sad in a way because I really got into the World Cup of hockey. I like the hockey that's been played. I could use another 6 months of watching Team North America, to be honest. And I think I'd probably have enough left in me for another week of John Tortorella, maybe. You know, I might my BS detector, you know, the hip waders, the shovel, I might have another week of John Tortorella's nonsense in me.
Oh, yeah. Well, you know what? I think there's a lot of people who are thinking exactly like you today. It's a little sad that North America is out, but it's really the second period versus Russia that killed them a few nights ago. And it's really sad. They were that close to tie that game. Remember, they hit a post with a few seconds to go. And it was, I really think, the best game in this tournament by far because, you know, even if they were losing 4-1, we all knew that that game wasn't over at all. It was a great experience. And I'm pretty sure we're going to see those 23 and under again in a few years. Obviously, the players that are there right now won't play for the 23 and under, even if you're 22-year-old and you played in that tournament and once as a 23 and under. You'll have the right, I think, to play for your national team next time. But that being said, I'm pretty sure there'll be other great players, 23 and under, in 3 or 4 years. So it's still going to be a challenge for all the teams that need to face those young guns.
You know, it's funny because, Ren, I think a lot of people, you know, looked at the start of this tournament, and we understand that the idea moving forward is that they're going to have play-ins, and I think you'll probably see more, more national teams. But I've got to tell you, I kind of like the Team Europe concept.
Yep.
For a variety of reasons, not the least of which is, you know, they seem, it's interesting, you see their fans at games and they seem to have attracted enough fans. And you know, I think the people showing up with Slovak jerseys, they've kind of, you know, got onto this team a little bit. I really like the concept. And I, again, I know that I think in a perfect world to make this a real World Cup, you've got, you know, 6 or 7 countries, Germany, Slovakia, Slovenia, Latvia, you've got Switzerland, you've got them playing to get into the tournament. But I'm kind of hoping they take a look at this concept and go, you know, if it can get Anze Kopitar into the event, then to me, it's worth it. To me, it's worth it to see all these big name players almost compared to, I'd rather see that, Ren, than if Germany had a team or if Switzerland had a team.
Well, think about it. How many Hall of Famers is in that team? At least 3 or 4.
Yes.
Easily. Okay? So right away, you have more Hall of Famers or future Hall of Famers in that team than in Team USA that already played.
Mm-hmm.
Patrick Kane is one. Maybe Jonathan Quick. That's it. That's all. There's no more Hall of Famer on that team, which is crazy when you think about it. And when you think, you look at Team Europe, the way they built it, the logic was easy, and that wasn't Team USA logic. Let's have the best player available, and let's see what's going to happen. And you know what? There's still a chance they're going to win tomorrow. It's not done. It's not a run and done thing. The way Sweden played versus the 23 and under was kind of scary.
Mm-hmm.
I don't know how many power plays they give. Not only that, I mean, odd man rushes. It was crazy. And they play a really smart kind of hockey. Yaroslav Halak is still a really good goaltender. And, you know, they did it the right way. I'm a little sad that Team USA didn't do exactly the same thing because, let's be honest here, if Team USA had the best players on his team today, they will be playing, or tomorrow they will be playing too.
Mm-hmm.
Because, yes, they would have lost that game versus Canada. Who cares? They would have won versus Czech Republic last night, and they would have beat I think you're up in the first game. So they would have been already in, the semifinal. It's a huge mistake that USA did. And after that, you never know. You play Canada maybe once. You don't know what's going to happen with Russia tomorrow night. Is it a walk in the park for Canada with Sergei Bobrovsky in net? I don't think so. It won't be. It will be really difficult for Canada tomorrow night. Their biggest challenge by far in this tournament. Maybe a bigger challenge than if they face Sweden or Europe in the final, to be honest with you. So this is, for me, the most dangerous game for Canada tomorrow night. And, you know, it's I really like the concept of this tournament, but we can't believe what USA did. It's totally crazy, and I think it's there'll be a lot of people losing their job because of the way they think. I'm convinced.
Well, and I would think rightly so. I mean, they were not only were they a bad hockey team, but quite frankly, they're an embarrassment to the tournament. I mean, they really were. They were. That's the only way to describe it. They're an absolute embarrassment. I mean, Finland, at least we know what Finland's problem is. Finland just didn't have enough offense, and that Finn team, that core Finn team, in another couple of years is going to be really good. But Team USA as the English would say, they bottled it. They just bottled it.
Listen, Dean Lombardi yesterday was just unbelievable at his press conference, okay? He put everything on the table. He was honest as you can be, okay? But he said that he decided to pick that team because there were players that were, playing with their heart and they care. I didn't see that last night except in the third period. I mean, Czech Republic is not that good.
Mm-hmm.
And I was seeing players skating around until Zach Parise was hit really badly. And suddenly there was a game. So, but it took at least 40 minutes or I'll say 35 minutes before we had a game. It's not normal at all. That's not the way. If you're building a team because those guys cares and they're involved in the game, well, how all those guys played in this tournament and even last night. I mean, it wasn't fun to watch except the third period. And believe me, I talked to a few players on USA team yesterday in the morning, and they were really, really, really sad. You see that they did care, but they had no clue how to be able to be a team. That wasn't a team. That was 20 players playing. Everybody was playing their own style, and they weren't playing really for each other.
Ren, I know this will be an issue in Montreal or something that's being monitored in Montreal, but how has Carey Price looked to you through this tournament and through the eyes of someone from Montreal? I've got to think that from the very first save he had to make, people in Montreal had to be really happy with what they've seen from him.
Yeah, there's no doubt about that. First game that he played in this tournament, pre-tournament versus USA, he obviously looked rusty. Well, that was okay. After that, he was really good when you look at the game versus Russia, and that was in Pittsburgh. And since the beginning of the real tournament, I mean, there's no issues at all. The problem is, Canada was really happy to win that game versus the U.S. earlier this week because they didn't want to play Carey, on back-to-back and in two nights. So they were happy to win that game. That gave Crawford the chance to play one game. And like Carey told me, he said, you know what, it's been a long time I didn't play two games in two nights. And that was maybe the scariest part for the Montreal Canadiens and Marc Bergevin. So that thing was resolved quickly. And I think everybody in Montreal is really happy. You know, Carey changed the way he trained. Not totally, but he needs to spend more time before practices, after practices, stretching. That's important to him now because the last thing that he wants is being or getting injured again. He's a big man, as you know. You've met him before. He's a big body. It's not easy to put pressure on his hips, knees all the time like he's doing. But what I notice and what I think is really great to see is that he didn't change at all. He's the same goaltender who's pushing really, really hard. And he's the best goaltender in the world. And he's going to be really tough to beat this year. I'm telling you, Jeff, if you need to put the Montreal Canadiens in the playoffs or not, don't put the Montreal Canadiens out of the playoffs. Mm. It's already, I think, in my mind, an automatic. I talked to Thomas Plekanec after the game last night. He's so pumped up about going back to Montreal and show everybody that what happened last year was a big, big mistake. It shouldn't happen that way. Excited to play with Shea Weber, with Andrew Shaw. The culture of that team changed totally this summer. And I think it's going to be one of the most dangerous team, if not the most dangerous team in the East this season.
You know, Ren, the final is going to be a best of three competition compared to, you know, one and done. Let's just assume, for argument's sake, that Canada advances. What challenges does this present Mike Babcock and his staff to know that they will be playing a minimum two games? And does this actually help any of the other would-be finalists more than another? Like, I've got to think it might actually help, given what we've seen from them. If Team Europe can somehow get by Sweden, that might actually help Team Europe.
You think so?
Yeah.
Well, I'm more. You know what? For me, the scariest game is the next one.
Okay.
Because it's a one, and you know, you have to beat Sergei Bobrovsky. I think after Carey Price, he's the best goaltender in this tournament. Just the way he played again yesterday. Now you see that he's giving a lot of confidence to Team Russia. Even Alexei Emelin, I saw him three or four times after last night, yesterday's game, and he had a big smile on his face all the time. If Alexei Emelin is smiling all the time, you know that something's going on with his team right now. And it's positive, so that's scary to me. You know, the mentality of the coaches right now with Team Canada is quite simple. They really think that the only enemy of Team Canada is Team Canada. Mm-hmm. So they need to prepare the right way. They know that they're a better team than everybody else in this tournament. But the big issue, I don't know if it's a big issue, but maybe it's out there. They're not playing 60 minutes every time they're taking a three-goal lead. They're not playing the right way, I should say. And that's a little scary for the managers, but the management. But at the end of the day, they're so good. It's scary. When I look at the roster, when I look at all the players on the roster, it's impossible for me to say, that guy doesn't deserve to be here.
Right.
I mean, even if you're Joe Thornton, the way he's playing really well. We were surprised that he was there at the beginning because he wasn't Soshi, but the ice is smaller than Soshi, as you know, and Joe Thornton is a horse down there. He's unbelievable. So, and you should see, I'm between the bench during the games. The vibe on that bench is unbelievable. It's been a long time that I noticed chemistry like that on a team. It's impossible to hit a player. If you hit a player on Team Canada and you hit him badly, expect somebody to come quickly in your face. That's Team Canada. That's, for me, the definition of what a real team is.
Well, you know, it's interesting too, Ren, because there's been a lot of talk in the past couple of days, or I think maybe a lot of focus on just how, you know, I think this may be between Vancouver and now, it may be the best the best run of Team Canada I've seen in my lifetime in terms of being able to dominate, just take the life out of a game. But you know, when you look at this team, you know, I can't remember where I read this, but it might have been Mike Zeisberger, but they were talking about how, I mean, you look at guys like Sidney Crosby, Jonathan Toews, you know, some of the guys in defense. I mean, these guys have, I mean, they've basically spent their career winning at the international level. Like, this is, I don't think we make a big enough deal in this country about how good this core is. I don't know if we'll ever see this again. I mean, Connor McDavid's going to be part of – he'll probably be the leader of the next core, but I don't know if we're going to see a group like this again.
Well, hopefully what Mike Babcock was able to – the mentality that he brought to that team, hopefully it's going to stay. Because I remember – and this is not a shot to anybody, but at one point, Kurt Malby was part of Team Canada all the time. You know, those grinders that were really good at what they were doing – fourth line players that were there, but they weren't the best players in Canada playing for Team Canada. What Mike Babcock did starting in Vancouver in 2010 is quite simple. We're going to win with the best. I want only but the best. We were surprised to see Drew Doughty there. He was super young. Great decision. We were surprised to see Patrice Bergeron instead of Martin Saint-Louis or Brad Richards or Vincent LeCavalier, super decision. And now you look at the way they're building their roster year after year for their big tournament. This is all Mike Babcock.
Mm-hmm.
And we need to give a lot of credit to that coach, because at the end of this tournament, if everything goes well, I don't think we're going to see another coach like that in you know, he's going to be the best coach ever to coach Canada in an international event.
Mm-hmm.
And you need to give Mike a lot of credit. I don't think people are talking enough about that, but hopefully history will say in a few years that Mike Babcock was the one who really turned hockey in Canada around. 1996 was a great tournament, by the way, mm-hmm. with the USA winning versus Canada, but at the end of the day, Canada was supposed to be the better team, and it wasn't. So, you know, as you say, we don't put enough maybe emphasis on those players. They are just unbelievable players, but I don't think we're giving a lot of credit to the coaches. They're the best. They're the best coaches in the world. And you have in front of you the best players in the world. That's why it's working. But at least I don't see any grinders. I don't see the best top fourth line player on that team like it happened too many times before.
And, you know, the other thing I've noticed from this tournament, and I think it's really good for Canadian hockey, is and Brunt and I talked about this yesterday. You know, you've got kind of a generation of players like Sidney Crosby and Jonathan Toews and Patrice Bergeron who have shown an ability to take a step back when they join Team Canada, to sacrifice a little bit of individual glory for the team. You know, a lot of that comes from the fact that a guy like Jonathan Toews and Sidney Crosby and Patrice Bergeron, they'll play the power play, they'll kill penalties. They're so good. They're so smart. They're so responsible. And what I liked about the under 23 team is I kind of saw that from Connor McDavid. I kind of saw that from Morgan Riley, who I thought very quietly had a really good tournament for
good
Team Canada. And, you know, it's almost, Ren, as if there's this, it's part of Canadian hockey DNA now, that if you are an elite player, you willingly accept the notion that to be part of Team Canada, you may have to subjugate yourself for the betterment of the team. You may have to play 5 or 6 minutes a game less. That's just the way it's going to be.
And you're going to win.
And you're going to win, exactly.
And you're going to win. That's at the end of the day. That's why they're playing that game. And that's why they're smiling right now. Because it's too good to be true. But it's not only one line. It's every line, night after night. I mean, you have a guy like Duchesne. I mean, Matt Duchesne could have been really upset with the way he was used. No, he didn't say a word. Scored two big goals.
Mm-hmm.
I mean, there's no ego, and that's really impressed me. But I'm going to repeat myself, Jeff. You should see those guys on the bench. They're not only 25, 26-year-old players. It's your veterans that are on the bench, and every time there's a huge play, even if it's just blocking a shot, you should see that bench. You should see that bench. If I'm a producer, I'll put a camera on that bench. and like a couple of guys, and you'll see that this is an active bench. Mike Babcock doesn't have much to say because, you know what, the players are coaching themselves in a way. They're involved, and they don't care if they're playing only 12, 13 minutes per game. What they really, really want is a win, and I think Sidney Crosby said it the right way this week. He said, I played 13 minutes, felt like 20. Because you know what? It was all in all the time. And when you're going all in all the time, chances are really high you're going to be tired at the end of the game. At that level, even if you play only 13 minutes.